Well, Pastor, here we are on another Pulling on Heaven podcast. Thank you so much for having me on here with you this morning.
Always love it. Always excited.
Is it this morning or is it this night? Or
you know, I'm not sure. We've been in here for a while.
What time is it? What does time even matter?
It doesn't.
We tell what time it is.
Yeah.
And you know what time it is?
It's time to prophesy. Oh, that was on Sunday.
It's the greatest day of your life.
It is the greatest season of our lives, and only good can happen to us. You know what? We talk about those things all the time, and we laugh, and because it's kind of two worlds. It's a sense of humor to us because. Yeah. You know the contradiction to that a lot of times. You guys, what are you talking about? Don't you know what's going on? Have your head buried in the sand? No, we have our head buried in the heavens. We're doing what Jesus said. We're getting a heavenly perspective because looking at an issue without an answer is a problem on top of a problem. So yeah. we need the answer and we need the revelation. And that's what we seek God for. And listen, we never come on here thinking that we have the end to all, but we know we have the beginning to all ends.
Yes.
And Christ is the fullness. First, the last, the beginning, the end. And we should be able to think like that because again, we if you become captivated by the image of God that he made us to be instead of the image of man we think we are, that would change the world, right? That would change at least each person one at a time, and that ends up being a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, that's what I wanted to talk about today. Was talking about changing the world. We're gonna answer you just right now today. You're gonna have the answer of how to change the world.
Let's do it.
No, but we were talking about something you talk a lot about, which I think is really cool, and I think really where we're really meant to be going is the idea that we are here as believers to unite heaven and earth.
Yeah, it's a big thought.
It's a really big thought. And this idea, because we know at the end of the book, it talks about, you know, heaven and earth being united and Christ's return and uniting heaven and earth.
Yeah.
But at the same point, we're not here to just wait out time, right? We're not here to just hold on until Jesus returns. And that there's a purpose of what we're here for. And I think what's so great about the subject is because you've also been talking so much about God's image and our image and us being the reflection of that image and about God and Christ living through us and us believing that that's possible. And so let's say that that is possible. Well, what's that going to ultimately achieve? Just more and more people become believers? Is there a quota that God's waiting for us for? Or is there something that we are somehow participating with God in this uniting of heaven and earth to bring about the fullness of his whole reason for creating all of this in the first place?
Yeah, well, we're referring to actually Ephesians 1, and actually verse 10 says the plan, literally from the beginning, is that all things in heaven and in earth would be united in Christ, okay? Mm. And, you know, I think in the theology of waiting for Jesus to return, the thing is it's not a uniting. From the world I came from, it was waiting for Christ to come and get us out. It wasn't this idea that Jesus and taught and spoke about in the Word, I and you and me, as a branch can't bear fruit of itself, except it's together, abide in the vine. And Jesus, one of Jesus' last prayers before he ascended was, Father, make them one. As we are one, and let them be one in us. And then the other scripture, and there's so many, is where Jesus said, it's expedient that I go in the form you see me now. I'm going to come back in the form, in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to leave you alone. And he didn't, and he did. He didn't leave us alone, and he did give us the promise of the Father. And he said, but the purpose of the promise of the Father is that you bear witness of me, okay? There we go, uniting again. And the old theology base of the end times, the coming of the Lord, is us getting out of here because things are bad, you know? And listen, I mean, I can go historically through a lot of dialogue regarding parallel times, you know, times of great famine, times of great war, distress among nations. But Jesus said, when you see these things come, he said, don't be afraid, because that's not the point. That's not the focus. And sometimes we make it the focus, and we think that our day is probably the worst, most, you know, most end time day of all time. And the Antichrist is coming and all this. Remember, you have to keep in mind, Jesus said, the spirit of Antichrist is among you already. And then keep in mind what anti means, you know, Antichrist. You are in opposition to who Christ is, not declaring who he is. But uniting heaven and earth is our call because it's our creation. God, by his own authority, his own life, made man in his image. Mm. And what religion, tradition can do is it creates its own image. And the word says it like this: you have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. I mean, what's the point? You said something earlier that made me laugh. You were talking about when you were a kid, because they were setting the carpet here for the light to hit. Yeah. Right. It's not my world. I don't know all about that. But
see, if you go like this, it changes.
It changes how the it is. Yeah, and it's a reflection. And
does this bother me?
And the visual guy over there right now that you just frustrated, it says that made the light do something different. So, you know, what's that? Every action
is an equal and opposite reaction. Yeah.
So there's a momentum to our faith or our unbelief, our actions or inactivity. You know, it's something. If you're not doing anything, you're doing something. You're stopping time, as it were, in the movement of faith. Faith without works is dead, being alone. So God said, in the fullness of time, you know, these things will happen. Mm-hmm. Heaven and earth will pass away, and new earth will come, and all these dynamics. And I don't know that God really wants us to just delve into exactly what all the subtle nuances and the expositories of all those are. It's just something incredible is going to happen. And you don't have to know all that it is, because he said he would do exceeding abundant beyond all we know to ask or think. So when you start swimming in the word, you see all these different characters and natures of God's wonder and glory exposed in so many ways. And that's what he wants to do. He's not returning to get his people out of a bad situation.
Yeah.
You have to read the entirety of the word. There's descriptions of parallel times, which we've lived through. I mean, we've lived through a great deal of prophetic word that has unfolded that some people aren't even aware of. A lot of what we're waiting to take place has taken place.
Yeah.
You have to understand the word, and that is our understanding, is our faith in who he's created us to be. But this coming together of heaven and earth, as a matter of fact, we were talking about it, and I was reading it. He predestined us for adoption, and he purposed in us, and that purpose was set forth, the word says, in Christ as a plan, 1 verse 10, as a plan for the fullness of time. Fullness of time. For what? To bring all things together, or unite all things together, things in heaven and things on earth. To unite things in heaven, things on earth. So our call is a whole lot bigger than just trying to get out of trouble, just trying to get out of Dodge before the gun battle starts, you know?
So what you're saying is that Jesus didn't die on the cross just to give us a ticket to go to heaven when we die.
Well, he gave us a ticket to get on the greatest bullet train you could imagine, you know, to take us all around the world in power. He gave, he didn't give us just a ticket to get out of heaven. And this is what Jesus said. He said, you know how to get into heaven? He says, it's not just doing good deeds. It's not even just repenting. And I said this the other day, just knowing the repentance of God doesn't get you to heaven. Jesus said, you know what gets you into the kingdom of God? You have to be born again. Born again. Born again into what? And that's what Nicodemus said. How is that possible? Jesus said, you should know these things. Being a teacher of the law, you should. And if you don't understand natural things, how are you going to understand spiritual things? He says, it's like the wind. It comes, you don't know where it comes, and it goes, you don't know where it's going, but I know it's coming, and I know it's going.
Yeah.
I know there's movement. It's not just a ticket to get us out of trouble. We are here to make an effect, to affect change in the heavens and in the earth. Now, keep in mind, this power, this faith, this spirit, this word that we talk about, it's not us. It's Christ in us who makes us the fullness of time. What is time? When God relates in a scripture a season of time, he always relates it to something that's taking place. The scripture catalogs it. It categorizes events as time. In the day of Abraham, or the day of Moses, or in the day of Noah. What does that mean? Well, what happened to Noah? It wasn't in the day of Noah. Noah heard a word from God, and he acted upon it, and he fulfilled a season of time. The fullness of that day took place because of the faith and obedience of Noah to the word of God. Abraham, I say Abraham was greatly, I doubt anyone would argue or debate this, greatly responsible for the fulfilling of the time where Jesus could come.
Yeah.
Because he obeyed the word of God when it made no sense to him. When it just, how can I have seed if I kill the only seed that can bear seed that bears witness to the word of God? Because the word of God said so. Abraham had to believe God and doubt not in his heart, but believe what God said would come to pass. So in his mind, his reckoning was, I'll do what God said. This is my seed. And if he dies, God will raise him up. Bottom line is, it's going to happen. God is going to bring about change. He united heaven and earth through Abraham.
Mm.
He made a correlation through his faith that touched and moved heaven. In other words, it was a voice. It was a voice of volume through Abraham where God was saying, now, you know I know, and I know you know that I'm God to you and that you trust me and you'll not withhold anything from me because you know I'm everything. And that's uniting heaven and earth when we believe the word of God is not here just to keep us from getting hurt, but to put us in a position of bringing change that pushes hurt away. That pushes the darkness away, that abandons the ideas of being overcome by evil, and we are overcome by good. So the word says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. We're uniting heaven and earth when we aren't waiting for something to get us out of trouble, but we become the reflection of the answer. We become the insight of revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are here to make a difference, but we're not here so much to move the earth, we're here to move heaven. That's why we constantly talk about pulling on heaven. And then you might say, well, what does that mean? Moving heaven, how are you going to? Well, it's not my word that works through me, it's God's word. Are you telling me God's word won't move the heavens? I just read it to you. Through Christ, Christ didn't just affect change here, he affected change in the heavens. Remember, he was exalted above all. And he was exalted above every name. And heaven looked at him and said, look at the Son of God. I mean, we've known him as the Word, but we've never known him as the risen Savior. We've never known him as the Redeemer. We've never known him as the giver of the promise. I mean, but here he is. So heaven saw Christ that day of resurrection, that day of atonement by his blood. Heaven saw. Heaven and earth were united that day. It doesn't end. It continues. Today, our call is to see heaven and earth united. And we have to get off that bandwagon of screaming at devils and demons and talking about darkness and how evil, and declare, I will keep him in perfect peace, the word says, whose mind is stayed on me. He didn't say, well, stay on me till, you know, something diverts you or something attracts your attention in another direction. Keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. Why? I trust in you. I trust in the image you have made me to be. We are here to move heaven. And that's why we say we're pulling on heaven 24/7. And then look at the scriptures. The word says, whatever we release from the earth does what? It moves the heavens.
Yeah.
Whatever we release from the earth is released. It's bound. It's consecrated. It's deemed worthy, right, yes, and amen from the heavens. Whatever we bind, same thing. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variation, neither shadow of turn. Our whole focus, keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Now we're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it's not about sitting here and just walking around with your head, you know, your eyes pointed up, staring at the sky, because we know when the angels came after Jesus had ascended, they said, why are you standing here gazing? But go do.
Yeah.
Go bear witness. Go bear witness of the word. Begin to talk about the glory and the goodness and the power and the revelation of Jesus Christ, letting nothing in between and making our declaration. And let's say, hear, O heavens. You know, they used to pray that way. There are some people that prayed. They commanded the heavens from the earth. Yeah. Hear, O heavens of, hear, O angels of God, worship him. That's power. We are uniting heaven and earth and not just sitting here waiting for Jesus to come and snatch us out. We're here to see the kingdom of God manifest in a world of faith so it is seen in a way that it's never been seen before. And that's all by the power of the Holy Spirit through Christ that dwells in us.
Man, that is so cool. I love thinking about this stuff. I love thinking about, even to the degree that, you know, a lot of times we think about even heaven as being the final destination, but the Bible, the idea of a new heaven and a new earth united and us dwelling there,
yeah,
you know, and that we're going to be resurrected, yeah, you know? And so Jesus was someone who lived his life, made his impact, sowed what he sowed, died, and he was resurrected as the first fruits of what we will be.
So awesome.
And so we actually, more than even looking to heaven when we die, it feels like we should be looking towards our own resurrected life on what, and the fruit of what we're here sowing like Jesus did into this world. Yeah. Like, this isn't a wasted time or place.
No.
This is all part of what the seed, I think, that then creates whatever that new heaven and earth is.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this would be irrelevant, it seems.
It is. And you make such a great point. A seed that's sown in the earth looks like the end of the story. Here's a seed, tiny seed, number one. Throw it in the ground. Try to find that after you've buried it. You know,
yeah.
Good luck. Talk about a needle in a haystack. But God said, I want you to put it in a place you can't see it, and then I want you to trust all it's Abraham, all the hope. I mean, if you're a farmer and your resources, your finances, your revenue has gone into putting seed in the ground, covering it up, it's by faith in the word of God that's going to come to pass. Now, today, we're like, well, yeah, we know. Why? Yeah, we know it happens because someone, by faith, believed God and did it.
Yeah.
And they saw the fruit of it. Same thing today. If we, by faith, will do, as God said, die to yourself and say, the value of my will is I bring it in exchange for yours because I want to move heaven. I want to be bold in your faith. Didn't the word say that eye has not seen, not just your and mine. It's talking about heaven's eyes as well, the eyes of angels. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. Now man is introduced. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared. So what is the expanse of heaven? It certainly isn't just a place where we go and just hang out and we wait to, again, if we wait to the end to see the answer, the only part of the answer we're going to be is the end.
Yeah.
Let's get involved right here, right now. Let's believe high. We sing a little song, dig a little deeper, reach a little higher, and the Spirit of the Lord will set your soul on fire. You know, bury the seed, bury the attitude and the ideas that this world is just a bad place. It's blessed of the Lord. God spoke to me one time and he said, you could be happier than you are if you know how blessed you are and if you know the image that you carry. If you know the image you're made after and you carry that image, you'd be a lot happier, and it made me a lot happier. And I'm a pretty happy guy anyway, I think. But we live in a world where, regardless of what society tries to dictate, remember, God put us in charge through Christ by faith in him. We can make a massive difference, and not just trying to get people into a box, into a church, or become, as you stated once, part of a club.
Part of a club.
You know, we feel like no matter what we tell, we can tell them anything, do anything. Let's just get them in the doors.
Yeah.
Like if getting them in the doors was bringing them into this sanctuary of God's heaven. I mean, if there's nothing in the doors that brings the transformation, those doors hold no power.
No.
It doesn't matter what church or what building you get them into. Let's tell them the truth. Let's not be afraid to declare the truth. Why? What if we get people in the church doors by telling them the truth? Number one, they're going to be sincere when they come in. Number two, they're actually going to be listening and looking for something they need instead of just another sandwich in the in the basket or just another fish. You know, Jesus came to, or people came to Jesus, and one time he said, you're not coming to me because of who I am or what I do. You're coming to get a free meal. And it's the same thing today. Let's believe we are here to unite heaven and earth. Let's start there. Just like Ephesians 1:10, as a plan from the beginning to unite all things in heaven and in earth. Look how profoundly powerful God has made us. Look how rich we are. The word says he lavished on us this grace and this glory and this goodness. We are here to make the difference. What difference? Let's pull heaven down. Let's literally bring the heavens of God down instead of waiting for them to come down. So what the prophets of old did, Elijah did it. He'd call for rain or he'd call for fire, but he pulled the heavens down. I mean, how, you know, we think about moving forward. I think we've gone beyond backwards sometimes.
Yeah.
Let's move forward. If they can do it in that day without the revelation of Christ as we know him, the word said these all died in faith, never having received the promise. How much more can we unite heaven and earth today? And what would that look like? No eye is seen. No ear is heard.
And Jesus said, greater things than these will you see me do.
Yeah.
And it's like, if we were able to take the love of who he was and share it in authenticity with everybody so that everybody around the world took on that character and the nature of who he was, and that was manifest, that life was manifesting for everybody, would anybody, we might go, okay, Jesus, I know you're coming back, but this is cool right now. We're experiencing you through us.
Yeah.
You know, yes, you're going to come back and we want to be in your physical presence, but at some point, how is that much different than the presence that I'm feeling and experiencing you on a daily basis anyways?
You know, it makes me think of that. What if, let's just paint a what if scenario. What if literally we're so busy. We're like, God, this is so amazing. I mean, we want you to come. But I think we've got one more glory here to see manifest right here. And God says, I'm coming when you didn't expect me. You know,
Just,
you're so busy about the Father's business that you weren't standing there desperate. Oh, dear God, come and save me. But we're actually bearing witness to who he is. Well, he said, no eye is seen, no ear is heard, but it didn't end there. He said, but it's being revealed through us. What? The kingdom of God, heaven and earth united. What did he say? Pray, my kingdom come, my will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What are we doing? Jesus is saying, unite heaven and earth. Stop trying to get out of a place I put you in. The soil speaks to the seed as much as the seed speaks to the soil. Jesus gave us the analogy. He said, you sow the seed, and if it doesn't go into fertile soil, it doesn't produce. And what it does, it doesn't last, but a good heart, a sincere heart, sincere worshipers, not trying to get out of anything. God, put me where you want and do in me what you will. Yeah. Simple prayer. And then don't take it back. You know, Paul said a two-souled person is unstable in all their ways. And not that person think they'll receive anything of God. You know, sometimes I think the church is so mad at the devil that they just hate everybody. You know? They're just angry at everybody. And they lash out and in this fervor because it's the spirit of just negative and evil and bad. What about the goodness of God? The glory of the... Can we change bad to good by screaming at bad and talking about how bad it is? But could we maybe make it good if we dig a new well? Can the water be sweeter if we dig a new fresh well? If we make a presentation of God's great, God's good, and everything means something that God's doing, and my faith's going to declare that this is the victory that overcame the world, my faith. God sees it, he can find it, and I want him to find it in me. How great is...
It's amazing. You brought up, I was thinking of this earlier when you're speaking, and you brought up the word overcame. And that idea that in 1 John, it talks about Jesus overcoming the world, and we are overcomers.
Yeah.
So how could we possibly be overcomers if we're just waiting to be taken someplace else?
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't handle it anymore. Get me out of here. Well, that shows you didn't overcome anything.
Yeah. And what if we could find such a confidence in when something is coming that seems challenging, something so much greater is coming to overcome it. I mean, could we actually get excited about the trying of our faith? James thought so, because he said, count it joy. So, I mean, is there a way human beings filled with the Spirit of God can think to where we're like, something's coming, and I'm excited. You know, and the rest of the world, you know, doubters, unbelievers may say, you're out of your mind. And you say, no, I'm in the Spirit. I see something coming, because the Word says that the trying of our faith makes us patient. It makes us enduring. It makes us sound, so we lack nothing. And that's what it's all about, is seeing that we aren't those that lack anything. Remember, that was the glitch in the garden. We were missing something. Instead of, we have it all, now let's do something with it.
Yeah.
Let's unite heaven and earth. And it begins by saying, let's pull on heaven 24/7. What do you mean? The kingdom of God, I take that rope, because the Word says the kingdom of God is within your grasp. And one day it just came into my mind, just a big hearty rope, a big strong rope that wrapped around your shoulders. It just says the kingdom of God, like Jesus said, it's not far away. It's right here. It's strong, and it can pull a lot. Let's pull on heaven. Let's know it's in our grasp. Let's pray from this foundation, that here's where the kingdom of God is. It's not far away. It's not sometime. It's not you will be. It's as he is, so are you in this world.
Yeah.
And you're walking in that love and confidence and faith. And honestly, when people that love, really love, and come from the perspective of love, and not if I do good, I'm going to be attacked. So I want to dial that down a little bit, because I don't want to be too attacked. And just say, you know what? When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Only good's going to happen to me. The 23rd Psalm. Only good will happen to me. And I'll dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. He's talking about a time here and now. Yeah. That was what the psalmist said. The Lord's my shepherd, I don't want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Understanding from this perspective, the 23rd Psalm changed my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, it just doesn't make any difference, yeah, because God's with me. His rod and his staff, that's faith correcting you. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Over here. It's a comfort to me. In the presence of my enemies, he anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. Only goodness, only good will happen to me. Only goodness will pursue me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, we live in the same world. I get everything everyone else does, but that's our foundation to build on. If we build on a sandy foundation, terrible world, imperfect world, no one's perfect, everything's blah, you built your house on sand. The storm come, yeah.
It is going to fall.
You just predicted your fall, you're going to fall. You just anticipated a fall. I was talking Sunday, and it's like, you know, you're going on a trip, you put your luggage out on the floor or on the, you know, pull the bench out.
Yeah, I related to that example pretty good, actually. Yeah,
you can stumble over it. You know, and I think we've both been there, because we've traveled a time or two in our lives. But if you ever put it there and you knew it was there and you forgot that you moved it out of the way, you get up in the middle of the night and you remember just as you approach that area, that spot where you left your luggage, and you fall and it's not there because you were thinking the fall's going to happen, you know, and you moved it. God took the stumbling block out of the way. Let's stop anticipating the fall. Stop anticipating. Stop being afraid that you're going to fall. So if you stumble, let it be a genuine accident, and God redeems, but not something that's anticipated. And you'd be amazed at how much less you end up stumbling, and how much more God ends up raising you up and elevating how you think, how you feel. And then we can touch and change lives. We bring them in the church door, and there's actually something to give them that makes a difference, rather than, hey, we're all messed up, let's just be messed up together. I mean, come on, that doesn't move heaven and earth. That freezes time. But what about if we say, you know what, it's not me that lives. I'm not making no bragging rights on me, but I'm talking about how alive and big and powerful Christ dwells within his creation, because that's what he created us to do, so much so that he said we can bring together heaven and earth. The Word says, through the body of Christ, which is the fullness of him that dwells. And where does he dwell? In us. How amazing is the Word and the love of God that he put it in something that was incapable of doing it, just to show how much he loves us and how great he is through us. How great is God?
Oh, so good. So good. Oh my gosh. This is probably one of my more favorite things we've gotten to discuss.
You said that last time.
I think I say that all the time. Maybe I do. Because I really feel like it's a, like I said in the beginning, there's a direction to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just about, which even if it was only about that, it's not just about transformation for transformation's sake.
Yeah.
You know, it's about, there's a directionality to it, and that there's purpose, and people are hungry for purpose.
Yeah.
And change is awesome, but change that doesn't connect to purpose or advancement, it's another way of looking at faith without works is dead. So it's kind of like, yes, most people are stuck without the change even.
Yeah.
But okay, we can get that change, and now where do we go with it? And so I think that's what's so exciting, because we're called to go somewhere with this, and we're called to make an impact, and we're called to fulfill what Adam and Eve were originally called to do, which is to take a dominion of the earth that and turn it all into that image, and take that truth that we are in his image and make the whole world reflect that.
Yeah. And how great is that? I mean, think about this, and we're back to what faith does. What does faith do? Faith, it instructs us in our purpose.
Yeah.
And we all want purpose. I mean, okay, you get out of trouble. God, just get me out of trouble. And listen, everybody wants to get out of trouble when you're in trouble, of course. But then what? What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? I mean, what's the point? Well, I'm out of trouble. Whew. But just trying to get out of a spot doesn't fulfill you. It gives you that moment of relief. But knowing purpose and the longevity, what if in that trying time we just found, man, I found the greatest person of confidence I have ever known, and it looks like me.
Yeah.
And that image looks like Christ. I just found that I can be in a situation that seems like one of the most stressful, chaotic situations, and I don't know if I could be any more at peace and any more confident, because I know how it turns out. I'm seeing the end from the beginning, and I'm seeing the beginning from the end, because Christ is all of that, and none of it bothers me. Do I walk through the valley of the shadow? The point is that transformation, that we start to think from a heavenly perspective. It's not weird. It's not churchy. It's not religious. You're either going to think from the grave or from the heavens. I mean, you choose.
Wow.
And just wanting to get out isn't going to satisfy anybody. God just snatched us out and set us in some place, and we're sitting there playing harps and walking on clouds. How long is that going to last? Till you're like, what else? What's up? I mean, I believe you'd crave the day of trying of your faith, realizing how valuable it is and how strong it makes you, how eternal it is, that no matter what it is, the eternity of confidence in who Christ in us is remains. And it's an eternal sense of God's always with me. So what difference does it make, really, if God's saying today is a day of believing for what you don't see, or today is a day to praise me for what you do?
Yeah.
It's all God and God in us, and both days are going to happen, and they still bring about the same glory, and that brings change. If people could change in how they think about who Christ in them is, we could actually be changers of the world, make a change, a difference. Hey, listen, what I know is a change that it's made in how I live, how I think, how I feel. And I'm coming, you know, this is a guy that come from a world of chaos as a young man, you know, the backside of the desert, as it were, and living today, understanding everything different than I thought it was as a child and as a young man, even as a young believer. That didn't come because I did anything so right. It's just came because I believe Christ is all right. Mm. And all that rightness abides someplace. And he said, guess where I'm going to put it? You're my house. You're my temple. You just have to know how good God is and believe it and just don't take it back.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know that there's any way to top that statement. I think that is the word to carry on with us. And so I just want to encourage everyone watching, you know, to take this word to heart. And there's so many nuggets in this. I mean, I'm going to go back and watch it again. And I just encourage you too, and to believe God that he's got a purpose for you of transforming you from the inside so that he can be reflected through, so that you can can carry out his purposes that are uniting heaven and earth. And so we thank you guys for watching again and look forward to next time. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Steve.